Thank you, Jesus. You said, where two or three come together in my name, I will be with you. And some of the prayer meetings were a bit like that. But Jesus was here. And that's awesome. You can sit down as well, brother. I'm going to give you a really big introduction. 25-minute introduction. Isn't it nice to have Peter and Helen Conroy here? Yay! And they've got Joe here, who's their son-in-law as well. Give Joe a round of applause. Joe's going to do some juggling later on. No, he's not really. You can see that Pete Conroy got his dress sense from me, can't you? Hoodies are in forever. It's fantastic to have Peter and Helen here. Beautiful couple. We've known them all our Christian lives, really. Helen lived with us when she was a student. Peter lived with us when he was a vagrant. Not really. But he's got a fantastic anointing, not only as an evangelist, but in prayer. Massive anointing in prayer and in intercession. And behind lots of the moves of God in Teesside, and I don't say this tongue-in-cheek, it's the reality. Behind lots of the moves of God in Teesside was this man praying. That is true. And we want to absolutely honour him and love him and give him a big welcome. And we also want to receive something from God tonight, don't we? We're here to receive an anointing of prayer and fire and zeal for the kingdom of God. And, the Bible says he who receives a prophet, because he's a prophet, receives a prophet's reward. And so as we receive Pete and open our hearts to hear Jesus through him, we'll receive him and Helen and their beautiful anointing that God's given them, and that'll help us, won't it? Amen. Shall we give him another little welcome? Come on, Pete.
Hallelujah. Great to be here. So many, I always love coming here because I see so many people that I haven't seen for a while. And it's always good for that, isn't it? Always good to meet up with people again. But what's our common denominator? We all love the Lord, don't we? That's why we're here. We all love Jesus. And I did want to share a little bit about, I couldn't help when Martin asked me to do this on prayer. And he said, just share a little bit about, you know, how God used you with prayer and all that. I couldn't help but go back, really, to many years ago when, I don't think I certainly wouldn't be here unless God had not moved me to connect with Martin and go out and pray and seek God. When we felt inadequate, when we felt I'm not going to make it, when we felt, feel like jacking in. Could never jack in the Lord, but you sort of like feel like jacking in other ways, you know what I mean? Fighting. And but God, we kept praying, didn't we? Week in, week out. Not just once a week. It would be 2, 3, 4, sometimes 5 times a week going out on the fields in Sandy Flats. Is it still there? The school's on it now, isn't there? But there was huge open fields then. And we'd go and we'd pray and we'd seek God and we'd cry out to God. And this is a prayer. This is about prayer. And I think, you know, you can come up with all sorts of strategies on prayer. But it's a heartfelt thing. It's about communicating, isn't it, with our Heavenly Father and having a heart for him. Having a desire to know him more. And he communicates with us in different ways, particularly through the Word of God. But he also communicates to us in prayer when we're praying, when we're communicating with him. Because his Spirit comes upon us, his presence comes upon us, he speaks to us, and we get direction. A few things I just felt from God to share. Just to share a little bit of the journey, like I said. But I was listening. I've just come back from Thailand, actually. It wasn't a holiday. Don't say the word holiday. But we just come back from Thailand, and I was listening to a podcast while I was there, and it was by John Bevere. You've heard of him, haven't you? Wrote loads of books. First time I've heard him. It's on this podcast. And he was talking about rewards in heaven for believers. And it didn't really catch my attention until this scripture. He said, but because of his great love for us, this is from Ephesians chapter 2, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It's by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in these coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself, it is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast. We all know that, don't we? It's by grace. We know that we come to God and we find God through his grace. But it was the next verse, really. Because John Bevere was talking about rewards in heaven for believers. And up until this point, I wasn't sure if I went along with him. But he said something and I just thought, actually, that makes sense. Let me just go back to the next scripture. It says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God's prepared in advance for us to do. In other words, what he was saying, it wasn't so much what we did that earns brownie points in heaven. It's doing what God's called us to do, each one of us. Each and every one of us have a call of God, and everyone's different. Everyone here has a different call to fulfill that God has ordained for us, he's prepared for us to do. And I just thought, yeah, and you know what? We've got to seek God. And it's not just like me going back 30 years and seeking God to find out what God has for me to do, and that very powerful in my life. But every day, we need to be seeking God to find God's purposes and plans that he has for each and every one of us. And like I said, it's different for each one of us, but we'll only fully find them the more we seek him. And that's prayer, isn't it? It's crying out to him. I love that, you know. Makes me think of that famous scripture that we all quote in Jeremiah. That, if I can get on here, here we are, yeah. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And I just think, it's a powerful scripture, isn't it? But sometimes we fail to finish the scripture, actually. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me. And I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. How true that is. He has plans and purposes for each and every one of us, but we'll only fully find them when we seek him with all our heart. And prayer is one of those key ways that we seek him. So, to find God's plan for your life, you have to seek him. And I shared a little bit about me and Martin going out on the field seeking him. Why? Because we were young in the Lord, and we had our struggles, but more than anything, we wanted to find God's purpose and plan for our lives, for our wives, for our kids, for our ministry, for even thinking wider, for the church, for Teesside, and even for the nations. Seeking God's plan. God's got a much, much bigger plan. Got a much, much bigger jigsaw puzzle than we can ever imagine. And we only get so many pieces. But the more we seek him, the bigger this picture gets. And I love that scripture in Hebrews where it says that where the writer to the Hebrews talks about the plan being marked out for us. It said, fix your eyes on Jesus, There's a race marked out for us. And sometimes you only know the next marker. But it's enough. Run the race. We need to run that race to run to that next marker. So, went off track there a little bit, but there we go. Hallelujah. You know, we say that he's the God of the miraculous. Now do we know that? Well, actually, for the Israelites, they always reminded themselves. They always looked back. I mean, I'm looking back a bit tonight, more than I would normally. But you know what's a good thing, I think? To thank God from where you've come from. The Israelites did that a lot. They would often refer, you see it in the Psalms, to how God had delivered them from Pharaoh and miraculously brought them out of Egypt into the wilderness and then looked after them and fed them and for 40 years and then took them into the promised land. And how miraculous that was. So they would always look back and thank God. Do you know what? I've done that in my life. Often when I feel, sometimes feel a little bit down, it's good for you to do this, you know. Sometimes it's good to write it down. To write it down and thank God for where you've come from. All the things he's done in your life. The number of times I've done that. We do it together actually sometimes when we pray, don't we? We thank God for what he's done. Something lifts us in our spirit when you do that. Something energizes us. And for prayer, I think you need to be energized. I think, yeah, I'm all for trying to break through. And I think you need to try to break through. But the more we thank God from where we've been and also what he's doing now in our lives, thanking him takes us onto another plane. I remember the Pensacola, remember that? Pensacola revival, we were there, weren't we? And that song, Look What the Lord Has Done. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. Just in time. You're going to praise his name. What did they call the worship leader? Forgot him now. Lyndall Cooley, yeah. Hallelujah. Look what the Lord's done in your life. Hallelujah. And that causes you to celebrate, doesn't it? Wow, come on. The enemy doesn't want you to celebrate, but I'm going to celebrate. Doesn't matter what you're going through tonight, you can celebrate. You can rejoice. You can get into a place where you are effective and the devil doesn't want you there. And there'll be all sorts of things happening in your life. That's why it's good that I don't know situations like, you know. Sometimes I come into some situation like this and it's the Lord. God knows. God knows your life. I don't know what's going on in your life. But God does. And you know what? That's all that matters. So why is it important to recall what God's done for us? It raises faith, which is helps us to seek him. And faith-filled prayer is powerful. And reminds me of that scripture. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you had a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of your friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, I love that way, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. I looked at the few different Bibles, and there was all sorts. There was persistence, there was boldness, there was not ashamed to keep asking, there was standing your ground, there was even begging. Do you know what? What we need is some shameless audacity. That's what we need in prayer, don't we? That's what we need, some shameless audacity to say, despite everything, we're praying for the miracles. I used to go around. Reminds me of, you know, I worked in a shop, Martin and Margaret, remember, and newsagents. I was a manager of newsagents. I didn't really like it. I mean, I met a lot of people, had a few opportunities to share the gospel, but I knew it wasn't the place that God wanted for my life. And there's an uneasiness that I knew that I had to seek God to break through and find what God had for me. And I would often just pray. I'd often walk through cemeteries, and that I used to live nearby in Oxford Road in Middlesbrough, and just pray. And you know what I used to do sometimes? Helen's got the scripture. Sometimes, I've had enough of words. Don't know you. I've like, all the words I have to God are exhausted. And have you ever been in a situation like that? Well, that's what I felt. Felt trapped. Felt my life wasn't going anywhere. Thought there was no way out. You know what I'd do sometimes? I'd groan. Sometimes I would just walk through the cemetery and groan. The more I groaned, I always end up crying. And there was something about my emotions that connected me with God in a way that just saying a prayer didn't do. I'd groan. And I'd come out feeling on cloud nine. What's the scripture, Helen? Do you want to pass me it? Or do you want to read it? You read it.
In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans.
Some people here need to groan. You're not seeing... When all you're hitting is a brick wall, I tell you two things. Start praying in the Spirit, maybe groaning, crying out to God, speaking in tongues. Another thing that I think is vital, pray with somebody else. I can't emphasize enough. You don't realize I would not be here if I didn't pray with this man for years. It must have been 10 years at least. Tell you need someone that you pray with for breakthrough in your own life, but also other breakthroughs. Breakthrough in evangelism. Breakthrough in people seeing people saved. I remember when Helen started. Do you remember when I think you were still at the Oakwood, when Helen started ABCs? And it was like a mother and toddler group at the Oakwood Centre. And I thought, what can I do? All these mothers, you know. Not much that I can do. I turned up and there's a little group of guys, sort of house husbands, that were there. And me and another guy started to pray, and we started to pray for these four guys. And we'd go out socially sometimes with them, and I started seeking God, that God would break through and bring change. Do you know what? That was significant. Two of them got saved significantly, and they're both key leaders in the church. And but what I'm saying is, if it wasn't for the fact that I would regularly meet with this other guy to pray for these four dads, I'm sure God still got the agenda of the other two in mind as well. But these two guys actually came on Alpha, got saved, and now they're leaders in the church, and other people are getting saved through them. One's leading the youth work in the church. And but it is the important thing I'm trying to stress with you. Don't just pray on your own. Meet with some other people. Meet with someone that you trust and you get along with and you can pray with and you've got the time to pray with them. So pray on your own and pray with somebody else. It's so important. And also for personal stuff. And we still pray for each other, don't we? After all these years, occasionally I'd ring him and say, oh,
feeling a bit flat, feeling a bit down, might tell him a few things that's going on. Martin will pray with me. We'd still do that. There wouldn't be a month that goes past where I don't do that. It's important. You know why? I trust him more than anyone else I know, other than my wife, probably. But, you know, sorry, Helen, how do you? sorry, Mark. I had to say, it's only because I had to say that. Nobody. No, I'm only kidding. But it's true. I've got other mates that I can share with, but no one like Martin. You need, God will show you who that person is, to be able to share your heart, share your feelings, share your dreams and desires with, and to pray with. It's so important. I love that passage in John's Gospel. The story of Lazarus. I won't take too long here because I know we want to pray, but Jesus turns up at this funeral late, and I don't know about you, what does Mary and Martha say? They both say, if only you'd been here, things would have been so different. Duh! He's here! Just like in the boat, he's asleep, when he? We're going to drown! Duh! He's here! he's here. Sorry, that was a bit... But fact was Mary, fact was Martha, Jesus was there. Jesus was there. And then, I love it, Jesus once more, deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there's a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did not I tell you that if you believe, you'll see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and you that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. I'm sure this wouldn't be true here, but in some circles, you might say, raising the dead, that's a bit far-fetched. Unless you're God. That is. And if he can raise the dead, is there anything he can't do? Because there isn't. Nothing. There's nothing you are facing that is insurmountable. Is that the right word? Nothing. Nothing! And how much he proved that in this situation. Who here needs faith this year for things to change? I do. A new perspective of God's power in your life? I do. And if he, and if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you and me. Same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead is in us. Lazarus come out, he did. Sickness come out, it does. Poverty come out, it does. Unfulfillment come out, it does. Depression come out, it does. Impossible situations, they do. Might not be straight away, but they do. Let faith rise. Let faith rise in your circumstances. Let faith rise for your community. Let faith rise for your family member. I've got a son who's not walking with the Lord. I want him to. Seems impossible at the moment. But I believe in the God of the impossible. You know. We've got, I don't know if some of you might know, I've got a grandson who's severely autistic. I mean, I have three children who are autistic, but they're very mildly autistic. I have a grandson who doesn't talk, still in nappies when he's six-year-old. And, our Rachel's eldest, call him Toby if you could pray for him. And he's six. I don't know what he's going to be like when he's 12 and 18. Because he's a handful now. And he demands 24-hour attention. And he gets up at 2 o'clock in the morning and fills his nappy and puts it all crazy all over the walls and yet the Lord, you only have to be around Rachel and Joel to see Jesus is there. But that doesn't mean we settle for that. We're praying, aren't we, darling? For God, for miracles. And there's nothing impossible to God. Whatever your situation, whatever you're going through, don't let the enemy. Just finish with this. I always remember when we're thinking about evangelism, I remember an illustration that really brought it home for me. I forget who shared it, but some crusade or some meeting I was at. And he said, it's like this. Imagine there was a fire. Your next door neighbor's house was on fire. And most of the family got out, but there was still some members of the family still in there. You would make some noise, wouldn't you, to get them out? Sometimes we're very quite passive in the church. Our church is just as guilty sometimes. I think we all can fall out. We need to be more. To see God's kingdom come, we've got to break through. We've got to see a breakthrough in our own lives. We've got to see a breakthrough in our communities. We've got to see a breakthrough. We can only do that when we make some noise and seek God and find his heart and purpose for your life. Because one of the main things undoubtedly for every one of us will be reaching out with the gospel in different ways, some in practical ways, some going abroad, some sharing, face to face, some standing up here and preaching in different ways. But for every one of us, we're all called to be witnesses. Because do you know what? That's when we get to heaven, that's all that will have mattered. The ones who were there and the ones who aren't there. We can make a difference. I don't know if you've got anything to share, Alan.
Don't worry, I'm definitely not going to sing to you. But the words of a song just keep going through my head. It's a really old-fashioned song, and it's, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Do you realize what a privilege it is to be able to communicate with the Creator of heaven and earth? God loves us, and we can speak to him. And how amazing is it when we pray, and God gives us exactly what we ask for? It's awesome, it's amazing, it's fantastic. But what about those times we pray and we ask for things and God doesn't give us what we ask for? You know, over the years I've spoke to many people and they've given up on believing in God because they say, I've tried praying and it hasn't worked. Why hasn't God answered my prayers? And sometimes we've got to look at the motives for our prayers. And prayer isn't about us. twisting God's arm to get what we want. Prayer is about us lining up with God's will and his plans and purposes. And one of my favourite stories from the Bible is from Daniel chapter 3. And it's a story of three men called Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. And the king builds this huge statue. And he says to them, right guys, when you hear the music, I want you to bow down to this statue. If you don't, I'm going to throw you in my fiery furnace. They hear the music. Everybody bows down. But Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego are still standing. Why were they able to stand when everybody else was bowing down? The reason that they could stand before men was because they were in the habit of kneeling before God. They were people who knew the presence of God. And they said, and the king said to them, where's your God now? Is he able to save you? And they said, do you know what, king? Our God is able to save us. But even if he does not, we're not going to bow down to you. We're still going to keep trusting in God. And I just feel that God's saying to some people here tonight, even if I don't give you the answer that you want, I want you to keep your eyes and your heart fixed on me. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did get thrown into that fiery furnace. God didn't save them from the furnace, but he saved them in the furnace. And sometimes God doesn't stop bad things happening to us, but I guarantee that whatever life throws at us, God will be with us in that situation. And the interesting thing is that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were bound hand and foot before they were thrown into the furnace. But when the king looked in, they were free. They were walking around, and Jesus was with them. And sometimes God allows us to go through fiery trials, not to fry us, but to free us. Because when we've trusted God and we've been through suffering, we've been through pain, we've been through that fiery furnace, all those things that we were slaves to in the past no longer matter. We're free from. God can free us even in the midst of suffering. And the bit I love about that story is when the king says, there's four guys walking around in there. And he has to shout, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, get yourselves out of here. Come out. Wouldn't you think if they were set free, they would come running out the furnace? But they didn't. The reason being, they would rather be in the furnace with Jesus than out of the furnace without him. And I just want to encourage you tonight, whatever you're going through, however difficult it is, even if God isn't giving you the answers you want, dig in, stick with it, pray to him, and he will be with you. One of my favorite verses is Isaiah 43. When you walk through the waters, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the rivers, you will not drown. When you walk through the flames, you will not get burnt. When we know Jesus, when we have the privilege of communicating with him, he will be with us, whatever situation we may face in life. And he is faithful, and he is worth worshiping, and he is worth following. Not the way the world lives, but keep your eyes fixed on him and live his way.